acknowledge him, invite him into your diary, into everything that you want to plan this year. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, and I felt to share this scripture because remember, account will be taken from each and every one of us. God is not going to come to you and say, listen, your church, yeah, I'm sorry, you didn't cut it because your church didn't have this program going. So you missed out because your church didn't have that program. No, God is going to ask, what have you done with the life that I've given you? Amen? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Listen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? It's a serious thing to pursue God. It's a serious thing to seek His will and His purpose on our lives. There's also a beautiful promise here. As we work out on our own salvation, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is faithful. As the word says, as we acknowledge Him in our ways, He will direct our paths. As we say, God, I really want to walk in Your will in my life, He will align our hearts, our will, with what is on His heart. Amen. Now, it's obvious that a life-changing transformation can occur on any day of the year, right? It can happen any day. It doesn't need to be January 1st. But something in our human nature, indeed, it's fascinated by the new year. So why is January 1st such an obvious day for us to press our personal restart button? And studies in research has actually shown that people commit to goals more fiercely after a major benchmark like New Year's Day, okay? And even Monday is a benchmark day. It's the most popular day of the week that people are going to say, maybe after the weekend, tomorrow I'm going to start the diet. Tomorrow I'm going to stop smoking. Tomorrow I'm going to put on my techies and go for a run. So there's something... There's something alluring about January 1st and what it represents. It a new year represents a marker, okay? 2019, the old is gone. 2020, the new has come. It's a reminder. Listen, time is flying. It was January 1st, 2019, just now. Now it's January 1st, 2020. It's a reminder. It's a clean slate. It's a fresh start, a new beginning, a call to action. A second chance. Who doesn't like the sound of that? But psychological studies aside now, for a moment, why do we really make New Year's resolutions? Let's get honest into the heart. That's what God is after. I was reminded of this scripture as I was preparing. God is after our hearts. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. We'll get back to this. It's good for us to want to start new, but God is in the business of making things new. So why do we really make New Year's resolutions? Am I cutting sugar from my diet because Dr. Scharf told me it's a good time to make such a healthy change? Am I joining the gym because they have some good deals? Anyone excited about a good deal at a gym? Okay, a lot of excited people. Am I planning to work harder this year because I want to serve my employer or a client with excellence? Or am I planning to lose weight and earn more money to gain more attention from the world around me? So as I was reading up about New Year's resolutions, and there's even something they call it the fresh start effect, I also came across something they called motivators. So these kind of things, to get more money, to lose weight. I exercise because I want to lose weight or to get attention from the world. Sorry, these are called extrinsic motivators. That means it's something that's from the outside trying to inspire you to attain to something. But research has shown that the most powerful motivator is called intrinsic motivation. It comes from within. Okay? So just remember that. It comes from within. The most powerful motivator is intrinsic motivation. It comes from within. And research suggests that those who adopt intrinsic motivation are much better to maintain and adhere to, for instance, a new exercise program. So that means your motivation comes from within, and you actually start exercising for the mere pleasure of exercising. I don't go to run to impress someone else. I go to run because as I start exercising, as I get more fit, as I start a new habit and I start to reap the fruits of it, maybe I want to start reading more. And as maybe it's difficult in the beginning because you're not used to reading. And then you get stimulated by the beautiful stories or the interesting facts that you're reading about. When you start doing it for that pleasure that you get out of it, rather than to go out and tell people, yes, I've learned this, I've learned... That's when we stick to that new resolution, that new habit, that new change that we wanted to make. So over the years, society has made New Year's resolution the ultimate extrinsic motivator. Remember? So we say, okay, the calendar has changed. Everybody's making New Year's resolutions, so maybe it's a good idea that I also do that. Maybe by now, not so surprisingly, it has been found that only 8 to 10%, remember, 50 to 60% of us who are sitting here, according to research, have made New Year's resolutions. But that same research has shown that only 8 to 10% of us will stick to it. And in fact, only half of us, as a respondent said in the studies, only half of us will stick to our New Year's resolution till the end of January. Now, how's that for very poor statistics? So, psychology shows us that goal setting is a very natural phenomenon. And we also said there's biblical merit for it. There's biblical merit to take into account. There's biblical merit to plan how we want to steward things and then to invite God into that, okay? So that's good, but like I've asked, what is the deep down need, desire, motivating our resolutions and our goals? What change or what fresh start are we really longing for? Are we making these resolutions because we really want to grow in something, or is it because we're really missing something? We experience a void. So all these things about New Year's resolutions and all those things set aside, this is what I really felt to encourage us with this morning. The single most life-changing thing that each and every one of us sitting here this morning can do, each and every one of us, I want to highlight it for us in this portion of Scripture. John 6, 35 to 37. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me. He who comes to me. Remember we said, what is that desire? He who comes to me shall never hunger. Shall never hunger for more attention in the world out there. Will never hunger for more pleasure from what a salary can bring. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. He goes on, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And remember, I just felt through worship also, God is saying this to us. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out.
to me.
On the last day, John 7:37-39, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, see, there's these two things that's always going together. Come to me and believe in me. It is faith that pleases God. Anyone who comes to me must believe that I am, and that I'm a rewarder of those who earnestly, diligently seek me. Hebrews 11. He who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Remember, I said the most powerful motivator is the intrinsic motivation, that motivation that comes from within. Okay? We go beyond psychology here. Amen? We go into the Spirit. But this, he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He who believes in me, come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen? Come to me. The most life-changing thing that we can do this year, the highest goal, the greatest resolution that we can set this year, is to come to God. And remember, each and every one of us is invited this morning. And he promises, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Now, we've spoken about the statistics. So, if it's even scientifically proven that we are exceptionally good at failing resolutions, what hope is there? You know, it's like we always, whenever you come to small group, whenever you come to church, the one thing that everyone realizes and reminds one another about at the end is, yeah, I must spend more time with God. You know, and that statistic shows that we are so good at failing. But God. But God. John 14:16. Are you still following me? Are you with me? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever. Anyone need some help here this morning? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever. Romans 8:26. We're not good with the resolutions. We're not always that good sticking to our goals. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Thank God for the promised Holy Spirit. He is, like I said, the great intrinsic motivator. He lives within us. We are not like the world that just depends on, I'm going to make a firm internal decision. No. We can lift up our hands as the children of God and cry out, God, I need your help. I want to seek you. I want to know you. I want to serve you. But man, I fall so short in so many ways, in my character sometimes, in just prioritizing, really closing the door and spending time with you, speaking to you, getting into your word. But God, but the Holy Spirit, the helper. How dependent are we on the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit? I'm very aware of my carnal inability to glorify God and with perseverance. I don't know about you, but I'm honest. Every now and then, and even this week, man, I get so despondent. Yeah, Johannes, you know, you say you're a Christian. You say you love God. You say you love people. You say you want to serve his kingdom. But man, why do you fume up so easily? You know, the little kettle boils over and it's just vapor and everything all over. I don't know, maybe it's none of you boil over like that. I'm very aware of how I need the help of God. So the Bible says the same thing as what psychology has found. Okay? We can get so psyched up. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You tell yourself every morning in the mirror, and by the end of January, the mirror starts laughing at you. You're lying, man. You lie. For if you live according to the flesh, if we're going to try it out of ourselves, just out of our own willpower, our own flesh, if you live according to the flesh, Romans 8:13-14, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay, we were talking about, are we inviting God into our lives? Are we asking the Holy Spirit to guide us in His purposes, in His will? And are we inviting Him to help us? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I don't know about you, but I don't just want to run into this year with my own good ideas. I want to run with God, with His ideas. Amen? I want to be led by the Spirit. I don't want to be driven by performance like Donnie said. I don't want to say, okay, God, if I want to be a good child of God, I need to do this and this and this and this. No, I want to be led by the Spirit, because that's that place where we can experience God as our Father, where we know that we are His children by faith, those who believe in me. I want to walk as a son, and we can walk as sons and daughters. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. I'm almost closing. There's a song by David Crowder. He writes many worship songs, if you're not familiar with him. And there's a lyric in this one song that says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to lose weight, but nobody wants to cut out sugar. Everybody wants to burn fat, but no one wants to run into a sweat. If 50 to 60% of us have New Year's resolutions, it's clear that we all have the desire to change. We all have that desire for something new. But do we have that determination to count the cost? What is the cost? According to Jesus, to follow Him is, and to know Him is eternal life. But to know Him and to truly follow Him, according to Jesus, it's going to cost us everything. But by the Spirit, true obedient surrender starts with us coming to God. I don't know about you, but if someone tells me, yeah, it's going to cost you everything, I just want to run away. Okay? He says, come to me. When we come to God and we say, God, honestly, I've got these plans that I want to do here, but honestly, I'm actually yearning, I'm hungry for something more. As that scripture says, those who are hungry, come to me. Those who are thirsty, come to me. I will give you the bread of life. I will give you living water. Come to God with that hunger. Come to God honestly. Come to God humbly. God, they said it's going to cost me everything. That scares the living daylights out of me. But I know in this world I will not find the life of abundance that is found only in you. So God, here I am. It's a scary thought, but I'm coming to you. And as we know Him more and more, the cost will fade away. Also, in this church, like, we are just like one beggar showing another beggar where to find food. We are not pastor superstars. We just here to say, man, we want to know God, and we're excited to do it with you. But also, we can't just be nice and see how many people we can get together here. Each and every one of us must remind, we must remind one another, it's, if we are going to follow Jesus, it is going to cost you something. It is going to require sacrifice. It is going to require of us actually saying like Jesus, I don't come to church to be served. These are the words of Jesus. I did not come to be served. I've come to serve. Amen? And as we do that, as we count that cost, and as we get to know Him, that cost fades away completely. Amen? So, you can have a New Year's resolution this year to come to Shofar because it's a new venue. You like the vibe of the church. You've got friends in church. That's a very good reason to come to church, especially if they encourage you on your faith. But beyond that, you can even come to Bible school and prayer meeting. And those are also great growth opportunities on a church's calendar. But when you as an individual make that firm decision, remember, resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. When you as an individual make that firm decision to draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And you will be made new. You will not try new things. You will not try to make new changes in your life. As we come to God, as we just come to know Him, to worship Him for who He is, to serve Him, we will be made new. Remember, I said God is in the making new business. Revelations 21, verse 5 to 7. I'm going to end off with this. We've been talking about calendars. We've been talking about New Year's celebrations. We've been talking about New Year's resolutions. Verse 5. Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Just so you can know, it's not what I'm saying. This is what the Word is saying. "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said, "It is done." Not the calendar, January 1st, December 31st. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Amen? I am the beginning and the end. May God be our beginning and our end. I will give of the fountain of water of life. Can you hear that? It's been coming through all these scriptures where God is inviting us to come to Me. He longs to give us the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Freely. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Before me in the Spirit by faith, I see overcomers in 2020. Amen. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Father God, we just thank You, Lord God, that You've got it all covered. From the beginning to the end, Your work, Your plan is complete, Lord. You provide for us abundantly. Exceedingly. And thank You, Lord, for this word this morning, Lord God. As we've delved and looked at many scriptures, Lord God. Your word, not my word, Your word, Lord God. We thank You that each and every one of us here this morning, Lord God, regardless of our background, regardless of where we are at in our relationship with you, with regardless of what is going on in our lives, the financial, the relational, the health circumstances. We thank you that each and every one of us this morning is invited. Come to me. I will give you the bread of life. I will give you living water. And in this church and in this house, and I believe every believer, regardless of at what church we are, we need to be people that respond to the Word of God. Now remember, I said there is a cost. And we've looked at statistics where psychology looks at our human nature. And it says we are very good at failing. But this morning, if you can feel that stirring and you feel God is saying, God, come. God is saying, come to me. And you say, yes, Lord, I want to do that this year, Lord. I want to prioritize that, Lord. I want to come to you, Lord. I want to close the door. I want to speak to you. I want to get into your word, Lord. I just want to know you. I want to worship you. I just want you to respond to that. Knowing. And as you respond to that, at the same time saying, God, I want that, but I need your help. I just want you to as a symbol of that desire, just raise your hand to God. I'm not going to call you to come forward this morning. I just want you to respond to that word, to that invitation that God has for you. And at the same time, as you say, yes, God, saying, God, I need your help. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Just lift up your hand. Like I say, it's just between you and God. I can preach till I'm blue in my face. We can run a church program till it's just smoke and flames, trying our best. Nothing is going to change unless you truly come to God. Just respond to God. I just want to give us some time just to respond to God. Just there where you are. If you've raised your hand, you can put your hand down again and just speak to God. Just speak to God and respond to Him with whatever has stirred your heart this morning. Rihanna, my wife, quickly wants to share a word. And after that, we're going to end off with the last worship song. And like I said, we are not here just to be a drive-through where we just come to hear a word. We want to be doers of the word. I want to encourage you with that. Let's respond to God. Let's take hold of His word. Let's go and apply it. So we're going to end off with one last worship song. Just, like I said, responding to God and this invitation of coming to Him, this invitation of making Him part of our plans this year. And then if there's anyone that really, you really have a need for prayer, please never leave without coming. We will always be excited to pray with you. We've got leaders here who would be happy to pray with you. But otherwise, just respond in this next worship song. If there's any prayer need, please, I'll be here in front, and there will be ladies also if there's a lady that needs prayer. And then after that, please join us for some coffee. We would love to meet you guys and to speak a bit more. So please grab a coffee. But let's just end off the service.
Yeah, we can just stay in the mode of worship with our eyes closed. I just, while we were worshiping and even before I heard Johannes' sermon, I just saw God, and I just felt before the service really God's heart for the brokenhearted today. And as we were worshiping, I just saw God taking a needle, and He like takes our brokenness, and He said to me, "Give me your brokenness, those shattered pieces. I love it how Johannes' sermon emphasized, I make all things new. He not only wants to restore you, but He wants to take your brokenness and work it into a bigger whole, something unfathomable, bigger than we can't see or understand. He wants to give you beautiful ashes. And He makes beautiful, that's that song that says He makes beautiful things out of dust. I mean, you are made of out of dust. But even as we come with brokenness, He wants to create, He wants you to trust Him and give your brokenness so that He can make something absolutely new and beautiful. And don't expect to know what He's going to do. He just wants you to trust Him and walk with Him.
Let's just stand in one last worship song.